Let's look at the 11th verse. You know, I knew there was some reason why I couldn't, was having so much trouble with finding that verse, because I wanted 2 Corinthians. There's a little bit of difference. Second Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Finally, brethren, for well be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, look at that verse. We could read the whole 12 so verses before that, 10 verses before that. But when he spoke here, he said, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. Then he tells us why or how we can do that. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Two things we see in verse 1. If I am not loving and if I'm not at peace with myself, I'm out of His will. In the Greek language, there are 3 words for the different degrees of love. The first Greek word is eros, E-R-O-S. It is the lowest and beastly form of love. It is a sensual, erotic love. We would best declare that as sexual love. You know, when someone wants to have something that don't belong to them, they will use that word, I love you. It is the lowest grade of love because that love is taken and not given. When a man or woman goes into a house of ill repute, there's no love there. It's just lust. So that's the lowest form. The second is the word philo, P-H-I-L-E-O. This is brotherly love, friendship. Neither is this word used in this verse, but we have a brotherly love. That's why that I can tell you, sisters, I love you. And nobody's going to take it the wrong way. Because we have a brotherly love. Somebody that we have known for a long time. We have a good relationship. It hurt us to see that person hurt. And that is a philo or a fellowship love. You know, a friendship. Now, the third word is agapa. Agapa is the highest form or degree of love there is. And this is the word Paul uses to speak of the love of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is written as charity because there is truly no equivalent in the English language between faith, hope, and charity. Paul said the greatest course was charity or love. But this is what the three parts that a Christian should have if they're in the center of God's will, that we are to have, you know, faith, hope, and charity, or love. So Paul uses this greatest word, the love agape. It would be natural that the word love associated with God would be the highest form, because that's the only way that God loves. When God says, I love you, and everybody that is truly saved, you're saved because God loved you. And he continues to love you. But most of the time, we could go to Peter, you know, and that portion of scriptures where he was asked, do you love me? And, you know, and three times. And the Lord brought that out that, you know, no, Peter, I'm a good friend, or I'm a brotherly love. And I certainly don't love any of you the way that I would love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a agape love. But the worst love is eros, because that's not love. It's just a sexual desire. But God does not show brotherly love or erotic love. His love is always the highest love. And it just wouldn't be anything else, you know, because we are not God's brother, and we certainly have no sexual attraction to God, and God has no sexual attraction to us. So he wouldn't want to use the erotic love. But in many false religions, they have a God that exhibits erotic, and it is a worldly, fleshly, demonic religion that exalts the lowest form of love. Now, I took time to go through all that but God's love is pure. God's love is pure and true. And that's the reason I think it's without saying, you know, there's a lot of reasons that people get married. You know, they get married for companionship, they get married for financial benefit, but there are those that simply get married just for the sexual benefit. And, you know, God says in his word that it's better to marry than burn. You know, if that is just a simple, I can say that tonight, but we don't have, well, even if the children was here, I could still say that. You know, because sexual relationship is not a dirty thing. The world has made it dirty.
Sure.
You know, but that is not dirty. And God said it's just a strong desire that he said is better to marry than burn. And I think there's a lot of couples that get married simply for that. And then as they grow older and that is not the number one desire in the marriages at times, so then problems come in. But how far did God go, or what did he do to show this love? Well, we read John 3:16, you know, and I still haven't changed a bit. You know, there's other copies if anybody else would like to have a copy. That's what I made Brother Steve. He's the only one that asked for it. But God so loved, and yes, God so loved the world, and that world is the people, not the creation, that he so loved the world, and he was talking to a particular young man that night, and he said, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son for you. And see, the only way we can be saved, we got to take everything that God says in the salvation plan as personal. He's talking to me. You know, if God saved my wife, you know, that's not saving me. That's not saving my family. You know, and we hopefully, and I've seen it in my ministry and others, you know, that the whole family, but very few have I ever seen personally that if there's, we had one down at the Hebron where I think it was five of them. They all came down the aisle and said God had saved them, and two of them was teenagers. And it's hard for a teenager to be brought up in a non-Christian home to go to a public school to take part in the parties. It's hard for them to remain faithful to the Word of God because they entered these religious world at a very age where the flesh takes on. You know, that's not a saying anybody in particular, but you know, if that child is raised up in church, but if they just get that full blast, and that's what has happened to a lot of our teenagers, you know, they hear it and they accept it, but only up here. And he gave his only begotten son. We find out from God what true love is, and true love is giving. If I love my wife, then I would give to her. We're not just talking about money. It is her. She. I think that our relationship is that she would rather for me to have, and I would rather for her to have. That's the way it ought to be. It's not always that way, and it depends on the bringing up and how deep in the Word of God somebody gets. But in 2 Corinthians, as the Apostle Paul is closing out his apostle, he tells them farewell, you know, rejoice, and he tells them to be perfect or complete, you know, not perfect without sin, but he said here in 2 Corinthians 13 and the 13th verse, he said, all the saints salute you, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. What would be my wish for my three children? What would be my wish for my granddaughter that is engaged? Simply this, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost. See, so many people, when they think of their salvation, I'm saved because I believe Jesus died for me. But what is he saying here in the 14th verse? He said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That grace is what? That gift. Jesus gave himself, the greatest gift you'll ever receive, and the love of God. I love God because he loved me first. And the key to it, even though I fall in love with God, there are times that I stop loving him or I stop showing that I love him. A lot of times we love our spouse, but things happen that we don't show that person. It don't mean that we don't, but God said here, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Now notice the last one, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Why is that important? If you were taking a test and I asked, why is that Holy Spirit and the communion is so important? We take the Lord's Supper, our communion, when we in fellowship with God. If you're not in fellowship with God, you shouldn't take the Lord's Supper. Well, what God is talking about, show us what perfect love is, you know, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. You're saved by the grace. And the love of God. God loved you before you ever loved him. And then thirdly, to make that complete, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. He communicates with us. See, if I'm saved and in his will, And if I do something that I shouldn't do, it bothers me. Nobody else may not know. You know, my countenance may change and somebody may say, are you feeling good? Is there something bothering you? I said, no, I'm fine. I just had a bad day. But it could be that there's a relationship between me and the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, if I'm going to be useful, I've got to love God with my body, my soul, and my spirit. He wants all of me. And if I'm going to truly love God with that agape love, I've got all of Him. I know that I am what I am by the grace of God. I know that God chose me in Christ before the world began. And I know if I'm going to have any good day, I mean a blessed day, then I've got to follow the Holy Spirit. We don't have to ask Him. There's just some things that you know. And if you love your wife, you love your husband, if you love your church, nobody shouldn't have to, you know, say, I'm going to prove, you know. Steve shouldn't have to prove to Brenda every day that I love you. But there's certain times when it's important that she knows that. It's important that he knows that. And I believe it's important sometimes that we quit thinking that that's sissiness or a childliness. I don't have any problem at all saying, Jesus, I love you. And I want that Spirit walking with me and talking with me. So the God of love and peace shall be with you. The Apostle John bears this out in his epistle in 1 John chapter 4. Notice with me, please. 1 John. If you get there before I do, just wait on me. I've got a new Bible, and I'm breaking it in, or it's breaking me, one of the two. But here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, the Lord said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. What does that mean? Well, you know, I've counseled husbands and wives that have got some marriage problems. And, you know, I've heard one or the other say, well, he knows that I love her, or she knows I love him. Sometimes it takes more than that. Because God says here very plainly, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's how we communicate with God. And what do? If we love God, we want to please God. See, if we just understand there's only two divine institutions, that's the church and the home. The church has got to be in unity, or the Lord writes Ichabod across the top. The Spirit has left. Well, if love has left the marriage, you got a relationship. That's it. Because God said, he that loveth not knoweth not God. John distinctly and directly says that if you do not love, you know not God. Look here in the 16th verse. That's what God said. And when we look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I don't have to explain that. That's self-explanatory. you know, if I only love my wife, or my wife doesn't love me back, or, you know, or my wife loves me, but I don't love her back, that won't work. That's why the Lord says very clearly, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. See, God doesn't love. He is love. I love, but I'm not love, because I've got a other side of me that nobody would like. I don't like. I don't like my flesh unless my flesh is walking with the Lord. You know, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we are to lay down our lives for the brethren." What does God love besides his Son? He loves the brethren. He loves the brothers and sisters that are saved. He died for them. He paid the ultimate price for them. So he says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." Now see, the love of God is two-way. Love is always two-way. If it's not, then it is not workable. So he says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought." He said, we ought to do that. But you and I both know that on a day-to-day basis, we don't do that. But it doesn't mean that we should not do. You know, I know men and I know women who love their best friend better to their best friend than they are to their spouse. That's sad as far as I'm concerned. But it happens. And they'll say, "Well, you know, I love my husband, or I love my wife, but my best friend and I have so much more in common." If I'm saved and my wife is saved, I don't want anything any more precious than that as far as to keep us together. When Jesus said in the Gospel of John, Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. The 15th chapter and the 13th verse. He said, "Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now, the notes in this Bible, and Sister Brenda's will be the same, because she has the same one that I do, because she bought it and gave it to me. But God said here in John 15:13, and at the bottom of the 13th verse, it would be John 10, 11 and 15. Let's see how good they are. God said in John chapter 10 and verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now notice 15. "As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, you can say, you're my best friend, okay? God speaks to you, I'm going to take your best friend out tomorrow. Are you willing to die at his place? Just using a hypothetical case. He was willing to die in my place, in your place. Every one of his elect, he died in their place. And you imagine that when he's on that cross, he suffered the agony that every one of them would have suffered. And that's why that it bothers me. And I really got to control myself. I hope that none of y'all ever see it. But it just tears me up to celebrate Easter with Easter eggs and a stupid rabbit, knowing that Jesus Christ paid the penalty of every one of his elect. I can't even imagine the pain that man went through. And that's why he said, that's exactly why he said, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's how important saved people in our own church, especially in our own families that are saved, ought to be to us. Amen. And if you can gather in between what I've said, then that's why that anybody can come to my house they want to on Sunday morning, but I'll open the door and say, hey, coffee pot's over here, but hey, baby, I'm going to church. Because my Lord is more important than anybody else. And I just proved that. Well, I didn't prove it, I just read the Bible. God said in 1 John, First Epistle of John, as we look at the fourth chapter, we see how God blesses and how he takes care of us. So he says here in the First John chapter 4 and verse 9, look, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, the key word here is manifest. To manifest is to make known. So, in this was manifest the love of God toward us. What did he do to show how much he loved us? Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. A child of God can't live in this world with this mess that's going on. I tell you, who I really feel sorry for now is lost people. I mean, because this is a eat up world, you know. I'll love you to your face and I'll tear you down behind your back. That's what the world is. Sure. But God shouldn't be that way. Once the love is placed upon a man or woman, there is nothing that can separate us from that love. Notice in Romans 8. Oh, I tell you, everybody ought to be familiar with Romans chapter 8. Notice here in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. God said, notice here. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. My Father. He's my Father. Amen?
Amen.
And we go down to verse 37. We go down to Romans 8, verse 37. Now, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Then Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, you know, a person asked me this question about a couple weeks ago. My mom has got cancer and other problems, and she's in severe pain. She's talked about suicide. Do you think a saved person can talk about suicide? No height, no death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Suicide is not the unpardonable sin. Do I think anybody should kill themselves? No, I don't. Because what living is learn to live with yourself. Got to live with myself. See, when you realize that you are a particular individual that God created, and there's not another soul in this world that's like you, so, no matter how bad things get, Paul said in verse 38, for I am persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, or angels, nor principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love. So that scripture, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm against, I may do a lot of things, but I can't imagine killing myself. That's just not in my way of thinking. But if I did, that would not separate me from the love of God. And you got to be careful because you give people that are suicidal, well, you know, then I'll be all right. Oh, no, you're not all right because you're going, you know, people say, if I make it to heaven by the skin of my teeth, that means what they're saying. I don't care if I have any rewards or not, so as long as I get to heaven. You will throughout eternity. And one of the most misunderstood subjects in the Bible is the bride of Christ. Now, have you been to a church wedding, a big church wedding, small church wedding? Who's all the eyes on? The bride. I very seldom, you know, maybe dad or some of the family will say, John, you look sharp tonight, you know. So that's just to what you do, because you hadn't seen him in anything but overhauls, so he's in a tuxedo, you know. But our every eye is on the bride. Every eye in glory is going to be on the bride. And you've got to be saved You've got to be faithful. You've got to be a member of His kind of church.
Amen.
The other sermon I had ready tonight is Christ your Lord? That's the only way you're going to be in the bride, brother and sister. He must be your Lord. If He's your Lord, then we know He's your Savior. Once a man is marked with the love of God, that God's love is never removed. The Lord may chasten and can even be grieved, but His love remains. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. What a wonderful teaching that is, you know. Because, you see, I didn't do anything that caused God to love me, and I can't do anything that caused Him to stop loving me. Because He loved me despite me. God says in 2 Corinthians, you know, 13th chapter and the 14th verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and communion of the Holy Spirit of the Ghost be with you all. That's in fellowship with the Lord. I mean, it is. There's nothing as great as to know within yourself that God loves you. And He loves you because He chose you. You didn't choose God. And I know that not a lot of people have a hard time understanding that. But see, if you realize that every one of us is dead, we're depraved, and we're spiritually dead, we're physically alive, but we're spiritually dead, and a dead person can't choose nobody. But as we close tonight, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Read it with me. According as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world. Now, what did you have to do with it? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Didn't say you would, said you should be. And you can be. Now the person who can be and does, they're going to have more rewards than the person that doesn't. But the salvation has nothing to do with what you do. He saved you despite you. But now if you work out what He has put in, as He said in Ephesians 8, 9, and 10, we are His workmanship created unto good works that God before ordained. You know, God knows what we're going to do. But, you know, how can we read that? According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now notice verse 5, having predestinated us, amen. He predetermined. See, I can predestinate if the water is on and there's nothing wrong, that if you go in there and turn on the faucet, water will come out. I mean, you know, but God, having predestinate us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. So when God saved you, you become His child.
Amen.
So I had an earthly mother, had an earthly father. Praise God for both of them. But now I've got a heavenly Father. And He said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will. Why did he save me? Lord, I don't know. There wasn't nothing about me that was worth saving. So we go to the Word, and that's how we get our answers, according to the good pleasure of his will. What does that mean? Because he wanted to. And aren't you glad he wanted to? Now, why did he do it? Notice here, why did he do it? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You know what that's saying? I am what I am by the grace of God. He made us accepted. We didn't do nothing. You know, it's just like, you know, man, I'm just saying, put it in his hands. And if I want to live happy and long and prosperous, I just let him mold me and make me any way he wants to. And when I do that, he's pleased and I'm happy and I'm blessed. See, there is nothing in this earth like being saved and in his will. It's money can't buy it, friendship can't buy it, position can't buy it. I used to wonder, how can people be so happy with nothing and then God save me? They don't have nothing. They have everything in him. Father, we thank you.